guys, a word that I got in January from Matthew 4, that we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I've shared a couple of times at the Dallas church and haven't really, I don't think I've taught here or anything like that lately, but a lot of us fellowship, so we share a lot of the same stuff. So some of y'all have heard kind of what I've been getting, and I've just been testifying to what the Lord's doing in my life. And in January, like I said, early part of January, Matthew 4:4 is what really spoke to me and what I felt like the Lord. I've been feeding on this for a while, but I want to just kind of read it real quick. It's short, but there's one part of it that really blessed me as the Lord spoke this to me. If you back up into verse 3:16, and I've got a lot of scriptures today, so you're welcome to flip around if you want to or just listen, but it says in 3:16, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And so that's what I've been sharing out of the past few weeks. That's what I'm going to share out of today. And I'm kind of doing, I guess, a series, you know. And something that hit me, oh, I guess it was about a week ago. Last Saturday, I was reading through Jim's, got that 8 Parts of Daily Prayer book, and I've never read it cover to cover, but it's not that. It's just a little pamphlet. But I wanted to read the introduction, okay, because this is what's been the foundation of everything I'm getting the past, you know, since January. But it says, "Heaven is the pattern by which all things on earth are ordered and measured. It is the backdrop against which we live our lives, think our thoughts, say our words, and do our deeds. Everything on earth is regulated by heaven's rule," Matthew 6:10, which is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God is the creator, ruler, lawgiver, and judge of all the earth. He is ever mindful of every creature and knows all our emotions within and without. Nothing escapes his knowledge or is hidden from his eyes. Jesus was in continual contact with his Father in heaven. He never spoke a word but that what he first heard his Father speak in heaven. Nor did he do any act but what he first saw his Father do in heaven. What he heard in the Spirit, he spoke. What he saw in the Spirit, he did. It is the same with his church on earth. We have received the same Holy Spirit from his mouth, not only for new birth but also for new life. All that we think, say, and do is to be guided by and ordered by heaven. Heaven will judge whether we have acted by our own natural spirit or by his Holy Spirit. Every day, we, his people, each one of us, are hearing his voice, seeing his face, and walking in his holy presence. We live our lives by heaven's perfect pattern. We live by every word which proceeds continually from his mouth. We seek after his face to know his will and to follow his ways in all our doings. This is the fear of God at work in us by which he daily guides and leads his holy children on earth. So let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you for today. We praise you and worship you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for every single person here. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Like Larry said, we are so, so thankful. And we praise you. We thank you for just everything you are in our lives. We thank you that no weapon fashioned against us will prevail, but sometimes it hurts, but we thank you that the outcome, what you're producing in us, you're making us who you created us to be, Lord. So we thank you and praise you for that, and we worship and are thankful for everything you're doing. And so we ask today that your word be opened up to us. Lord, we come and just thank you for your mercy and your grace, that your mercy is new every morning. And that, like the angel that brought the coal to Isaiah, that you touch my lips, that it would be your words and not mine. And so we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said, I've shared for a few weeks in Dallas out of this word that I got in January, Matthew 4:4, that we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And one thing that just a lot of scriptures, like I said, I want to kind of go through just to kind of get to kind of my punchline today. But, you know, in Jeremiah 10:23, it says, "The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." So the thing that the message this year for me and what I was hearing the Lord saying is we need his direction. Not just which way to go, because that's what we always want to, you know, we want to get with God. What do I do? Where do I go? What job am I supposed to get? But he wants just relationship. Barbara, like what you were talking about is, you know, we just come into his presence. And, you know, I hate to even bring this 8 parts of daily prayer up to you guys, because we hear Jim so often. He's like a dad, and you just kind of like, you know, you disregard it. But I share it because it's been a blessing to me just in the past, you know, few weeks kind of reading through it. You know, the first thing of daily prayer is thanksgiving. So, you know, we come in and we want to ask God, hey, God, what, you know, we're praying. You know, we're praying for somebody. We're praying for ourselves. We're praying for what to do. But it's good to have these orders. So we're doing a house church, and we're going through the 8 parts of daily prayer. So last week we did Thanksgiving. So I shared a couple weeks ago in Dallas just about Thanksgiving. So just some verses about Thanksgiving. Let's see. They're all over the Bible. But one of the thing that I think is interesting is, you know, if we say, how do we want to hear God? How do we hear God? The easiest verse to think of is, his sheep hear his voice. So the way to hear God is be his sheep. It's just relationship. The sheep are with the shepherd all the time, so they know his voice. Psalms 106:1 says, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalms 35:18 says, I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among much people. The second part of these 8 parts of daily prayer is praise. So a lot of these verses are thanksgiving and praise, and they're kind of tied together. But there is a lot of power to thanksgiving. There's a lot of, I look at it like a muscle. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. It's like we say thank you. We teach our kids to say thank you. We're working this thing in us that creates, because we don't feel it a lot of times. When we're praying, I thank God a lot of times in the morning just for, oh, thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day. And I don't care what it looks like outside, because it doesn't matter to me. I'm breathing. Thank you, God, for breath. We can thank him for, you know, my wife, my kids. We thank him for everything, right? For good and for bad, whatever it is, we thank him because he's working everything together for our good. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Psalms 103:4 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. I like that verse because it's talking about enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. But right before that, it talks about we're the sheep of his pasture. Right? So we're his sheep. Everybody here is a believer. If there's anybody here, I don't think there's anybody here that's not a believer, but we're blessed. We have, you know, Jesus, you know, who's in us to willing to do of his good pleasure. So we're, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for. And let's see, where is it? Philippians 3:2-8. Let's see what that one is. I might be all over the map here a little bit for a while. Philippians 3:2-8. Okay. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks, this is where Paul's talking about his credentials, right? And he goes on, and at the end of it, where is it? It says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So that verse, I share that verse because there's another one in Psalms that kind of led me to that about magnify the Lord. You know, and when I heard that, when I was reading that verse about magnify the Lord, the thing that I was seeing was we also demagnify the things that aren't important. You know, the sufferings, the trials, the tribulations. You know, that verse in Psalms where it says magnify the Lord. You know, I think I shared here in a testimony one time, I just kind of have this picture like looking at through binoculars. You know, we're magnifying the things that are good, the things that are true, the things that are pure, the things that are right. We're looking at those things as big, and we're minimizing the stuff that's not important, the stuff that's just, you know, that's compared to God is nothing. I've shared a couple of times, some of you guys have heard my story about my Aggie ring, but I went to A&M, and, you know, at A&M, you know, there's like this big deal to have an Aggie ring. You know, you work through, we're in the Corps, and you kind of go through these sufferings, and you know, you graduate, and your senior year, you get this Aggie ring, you know, and it's this huge deal at A&M, and anybody that knows about A&M, well, I had become a believer at A&M, so I was devouring this word at that time, and this verse in Philippians, you know, I think of that story because the Aggie ring was nothing to me. I literally despised it because it was so exalted. And like to the point where I literally rolled my window down one time on Mockingbird Lane, Dallas, and gave it to some guy. This guy just, that was just on the streets. And it was this, there was this humiliation for the next 20 years of that story. I had to live that story out. But the thing that was to me at that point was, you know, God was everything to me, still is. But it's, you know, to me that was, it just was nothing to me. And everybody had exalted it and magnified it so much it was annoying to me. It was just like I couldn't even stand it and despised it, actually. It kind of reminds me, I don't know if y'all know who Rhys Howells is, wrote a book called Intercessor. But there's a story in there about how God told him not to wear a top hat. And this was in like the early 1900s. Anybody know this book or this story? Oh, so Norman Grubb. Yeah, wrote the story about Rhys Howells. It's a book called Intercessor. Anyways, there was, you know, back in the early 1900s, everybody wore top hats. And if you didn't, it was like offensive. It was like, what are you doing? And God told him, and this was, like I said, early 1900s, not to wear a top hat. And when he went outside, you know, and his parents were embarrassed for him, it was like he went out with no underwear on, okay? It was that embarrassing, evidently. It was that big of a deal. But the humiliation that he suffered for, I don't know, just a small amount of time, he went outside the culture. It wasn't, the culture said to do this. You know, he was swimming upstream, but the Lord told him not to do it. And when the Lord told him, he was like, you know, scared about it. He was like, oh my gosh. You know, he was like, no, this can't be the word. You know, this can't be what this, you're not asking me to do this. But now it's nothing to us, right? I mean, Danny doesn't have a top hat on. So, yeah, at home, wears it to his job. So I don't know where I'm going with all this, but there was, you know, just to exalt the Lord to, I guess the whole message I'm trying to summarize, you know, the past few weeks of, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's about relationship and, you know, it's not about legalistically, you know, doing our 8 parts of daily prayer, but it is a good thing. It is a good guide. That's what I'm using for my series, you know, to share about the kind of what God's teaching me or sharing with me. I don't usually ever come and say, Lord, what is it you want me to share here? I do, but it's really more of what the Lord's sharing with me at that time, you know, that week. It's more of a testimony of what I'm getting from the Word. You know, I had a situation yesterday. I got an early morning, the store that I'm at, I get all these notices and I get emails and stuff, but I got a notice that two of my department managers had called in and they were like key areas, fresh areas. And for Walmart, that's a big deal. So I reached out to the two openers. One was a 4 a.m. manager and one was a 7 a.m. manager that's working. And I sent them a message and said, hey, just a heads up, these two people called in. And it was just interesting. These two people's responses were completely different. Because one girl was like, oh, man, yeah, typical me on my opening day and da-da-da. And the other one took about a couple minutes to respond back. And she said, hey, thankfully we've been sewing into, you know, this one guy that's, she had called him in. He's going to be there in like 15 minutes. And just knowing the two personalities of these two people was so funny to see this, because it goes back to us just, you know, one is a believer and one's not. And one's thankful and gracious and, you know, always kind of positive, and one's always negative. And but the negative one's really been growing. So she recognized pretty quick, she thanked the other one, hey, thanks for putting all that together. And she recognized, my point is, there is a power to being thankful, you know, and operating in that. And I just saw it real clear with these two managers yesterday. It was kind of funny. But thanksgiving's in the Bible 116 times. The Bible says to be thankful and say it. You know, we don't feel it a lot of times, but we're going through. There's something to speaking it and saying it and just thanking God, you know, have a routine of just being thankful to Him. You know, and He will produce it in our hearts, but He wants us to speak it. He wants us to say it. So another thing that just kind of hit me about thanksgiving was how closely tied to humility thanksgiving is. In Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. It took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So it's not that Jesus, you know, had humility. He was humility. And I've just been seeing how closely tied humility is to being thankful. There was an article. This was interesting. It was called Gratitude and Humility, and it's by a lady named Nancy Lee DeMoss. I don't know. She's written some books. I don't know if y'all heard about her, but... It says, one of the fundamental qualities invariably found in a grateful person is humility. Gratitude is the overflow of a humble heart, just as surely as an ungrateful, complaining spirit flows out of a proud heart. Proud people are wrapped up in themselves. They think much of themselves and little of others. If people or circumstances don't please or suit them, they're prone to whine or become resentful. God opposes the proud. The concept is that he stiff-arms them, he keeps them at distance, he sets himself in battle array against them. But when we choose to humble ourselves, as we're exhorted in James 4, God draws near to us and pours his grace into our lives. His Spirit does a cleansing, purifying work in our hearts, gives us victory over the noisy, demanding tyrant of self, and enables us to be thankful people, even in the midst of challenging circumstances. Humble people are wrapped up in Christ. A humble person thinks much of God and others, and little, if at all, of himself. He recognizes that anything he has is better than he deserves. He does not feel anyone owes him anything. He does not feel entitled to have more, or for life to be easy, or for everyone to love him and treat him well. He's grateful for the least little kindness that is extended to him, knowing it is more than he deserves. I just thought that was powerful. I was just seeing the humility, you know, tied to the thankfulness. You know, and I've shared a lot that the little Andrew Murray book called Humility that really spoke to me, and I'll probably read it once every couple of years. But and James 4:6-10 is where it talks about God resists the proud but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. You double-minded, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. I was listening to Dave, your message, I guess, last week in Dallas or a couple weeks ago about the way up is the way down. And I know you've said that over the years, Clay and some different guys, that concept's all throughout the Bible. It's just that, you know, humble ourselves. God brings the low places up and the valleys he brings down. So, you know, it's easy to thank God for the good things, but it's the things that are not good that, you know, we have to, by faith, we say, thank you, Lord, for this trial. Thank you for this affliction. Thank you for this trouble. You know, that's where it is by faith. And that's where, there's a just a real, you know, power. I think that's where the real faith and the real life comes from our lives, is through those afflictions and through those trials, and that's where we're built up. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what I heard on this verse, and what I was challenged on, is it's a funny kind of joy. That's a different kind of joy, because I've shared my testimony here. You know, the very first verse that the Lord spoke to me was, Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. So I was like, yes, Jesus came to give us life and give it to us abundantly. Didn't know quite what that meant. It's a little different. It's a little bit different than the way I heard it. And it was the Lord spoke it to me, and I was big party guy. When the Lord spoke this to me, and I saw, I've shared my testimony before, but what I saw when the Lord spoke that to me is, Jesus came to give us life, and you have none apart from him. And it pierced me, you know, in College Station, Texas, 1993. But it impacted me. It shook me, okay, big time. But what I recognize is the joy and the life that I see now, you know, 20-something years, 25 years after the fact, it's different. It's a purifying life. It's a changing life. He wants to, I'm not going to say he brings those fires, but in this world you're going to have troubles. But be of good cheer, because he takes every single one of those and he's changing us and he's making us who he's created us to be. He's purifying us, you know, through the word. You know, in Psalms it talks about we're cleansed through the word. And so that's a lot of this message that I was getting in January, you know, that we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Just a huge encouragement for us to stay in the Bible and stay grounded in this, because everything in this world is opposed to this word, you know, and the culture and everything goes opposite of what this Bible says. So just an encouragement to stay in the word, you know, and it's not the scriptures that give life, but they testify of Jesus. Jesus is the word. You know, it says, you know, you look in the scriptures, you think that in them they have life, but they testify of me. So we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In James 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And that first verse the other day, I was kind of reading into that. In Acts chapter 8, it talks about Saul was there and saw Stephen stoning. And in 8, I think it's chapter 8, verse 1, it says that it talks about the persecution that was about to take place after that stoning of Stephen, and how Saul went around and persecuting. And it says that the tribes were scattered abroad in that time. So there was this massive persecution going on. Which I just think is interesting with what we're about to read. Okay, so the church is going through this persecution time. Okay, and it says, the very next verse, this James, this is crazy. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall or when you're surrounded by diverse temptations or trials. Same word as trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, which I have none. My wife can attest to that. It wasn't one of the fruits of the Spirit that was just flowing out of my life at all. Okay? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given unto him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted. So again, there's a humbling going on here. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endures testing, for when he is tried, or temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So I just thought that was a powerful, you know, verse. And when you tie that into being thankful and praising God, you know, the first two steps of the eight parts of daily prayer, you know, it makes us look at it differently. You know, because like I said, it's easy to thank God for the things that are, you know, that are nice, you know, that are comfortable. But to praise him and thank him for the things that are, you know, a trial. In 1 Peter 1:6, it says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations," or again, it's the same Greek word, testings, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold and perishes, though it be tried with fire," like the song we sang this morning, "might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." In Psalms 22:3, it's like what Larry said this morning. He dwells in the praises of his people. He dwells, God dwells in the praises of his people. So we praise him when things are good or when things are bad. We praise him all the time. He's worthy to be praised. We say it with our mouth. We may not feel it, but we say it with our mouth. I tell you what, there's a whole message about just the things that we speak. I was reading the other day the fires in California, $165 million worth of damage. You know, and they said it started with one little match. Some guy had started a fire somewhere in one of those parks, and it tons of fires and the whole series of fires from one little match. But you know, the Bible talks about our tongue being like that. You know, the things that we speak, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So there is a real, even the world understands, as pagans that aren't even Christians understand, that the things that you speak produce power. You know, and it's there's death and there's life in the power of the tongue. So Psalms 156 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Psalm 119, 164, Pastor Dave was preaching a couple weeks ago in Dallas. And it says, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of your righteous judgments." Seven times a day, not five, more than the Muslims. Muslims only do five. We do seven. So, yeah, you can do eight. You can do eight or nine. Which, by the way, Pastor Dave's got one more verse in Psalm 119. So the next time he preaches, if anybody's around, we might. I want to be there. He's been going for a couple of years, I think, on Psalm 119. So, Tao, I think it's the last one. So we need to find out if he's in Dallas or where he's going to be.
Big shindig.
We need to have a big Psalm 119 party. "Why art thou downcast, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Psalm 42:11. Wow. Psalm 71:8 says, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him." Some more verses on praise. "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well." We could take one of these psalms and just talk all day about it. They're just powerful. Psalm 9:1 says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all your marvelous works." So we thank God for what he's done, and we praise him for who he is. We praise him for his mercy. You know, his mercies are new every morning. I'm thankful for that every day. I don't know about you guys, but I drive in early in the morning just as the sun's coming up, and I'm just, every day, I'm just like, thank you, Lord, for today. New mercies, a new fresh start. I don't know if anybody's ever seen Groundhog Day, but yeah. We watch it every year almost, and we just had Groundhog Day last week, so we had to watch it again. And it's just funny to me. Who's seen it? Has anybody seen Groundhog Day? Oh, everybody. It's good. It's a good one, right? Every day he's like, I'm going to get this. You notice, though, it's funny, and I noticed this year because I guess this is the theme that I'm on, but his whole thing is he's dying to self through that movie. By the end of the movie, it's not about him anymore. It's about, I mean, he's gaming the whole thing, right? But it is about it. He's helping everybody by the end of the movie. You know, it's not about
You know, him at the beginning, it's all selfish. Just everything's about him, you know, and then by the end, it's just that he's figured it all out. So, you know, I'm thankful. Every day, his mercies are new every morning. You know, one of my struggles recently, and when I say struggle, I mean a trial, but a death crucifixion in me is something Tam's been doing, this homeschool speech and debate stuff, which, by the way, if anybody's available, here we go. The floods, always begging for judges, but we do need judges February 27th, 28th, 29th, right? We have a tournament in Irving again. I know a lot of you guys have come over the years, so thank you. And we have another one, but it's an awesome opportunity. If anybody's never been, there's, I don't know, probably several hundred kiddos that debate and do speeches from, you know, like duos and humorous stuff. Then there's team policy debate, which is what Eli does. There's Lincoln Douglas debate, which it's one-on-one. But it's really powerful. It's homeschool, Christian community, but they're debating this year. It's the banking and finance is the topic for this year. There's one topic, and all these teams pick a certain subject under that topic. And it's really powerful. It's a blessing. You'll be blessed, and you don't have to have any sort of knowledge at all. You go through a quick, like, 30-minute orientation. This is an infomercial, by the way. You go through a quick 30-minute, orientation. They'll tell you how to do it, and then you go in and you judge. And every single person that I've talked to, myself included, they have a powerful testimony. They're like, wow, had no idea that that's going on. So it's actually encouraging to see all these kids doing this. Yeah, Peggy comes all the time. And there's, you know, Cooper's, everybody kind of, whoever wants to come is welcome, but I think we always send out an email about it too. So, and there's free food, so that usually brings people. So, but Tam has been, you know, when we first started out in the speech and debate community, we didn't know anything. So for the first 3, 4, 5 years of it, probably we had Liam, who was a baby, so we were always, really didn't do anything. But there's all these people that were running everything. Well, now the years have progressed, the twins have graduated and they're on, and now Tam is like leading a lot of this on a national level, a lot of these initiatives and programs and stuff. So it takes a ton of her time, from conference calls to emails to setting up tournaments. I mean, literally up till 2 and 3 in the morning, like consistently, but she's passionate and driven about it, you know, you know, there's a little less family time, a little less like attention on Jeff. I want worship. I want everything about me. I'm not the center of attention anymore. There's this other thing going on. So, and that's what I was sharing. It's funny because I go visit my dad, who lives kind of by my store, and everything he's been going through, you know, I see myself going through the same thing, where you're not the center of attention. It's not about you. You know, you don't have to be, you know, the center of everything. But we get so offended. We get so, you know, we want everybody to be about us. We want them to spend their time with us, you know. But maybe I need to have a new mindset, you know, that maybe God's doing something cool. So I want to read kind of closing. I want to close with this. If you look at Isaiah 53. Okay, Isaiah 53. So it's the prophecy about Jesus, you know, and him coming. It says, "Who has believed our report?" And we're not going to go line by line on this, but so powerful, and spoke to me last night and was just like, wow, thank you, Lord. So cool. "Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" So the arm of the Lord, it's going to be strong. It's going to be a strong arm of the Lord, right? That's what they're thinking. This prophecy, you know, the Messiah that's coming is going to be this strong arm of the Lord. Last night I asked Liam, I was like, "Liam, let me see your strength." And he comes up to me, and I knew what he was going to do. He pulled, he's like, you know, and he goes like that. I said, "Are you strong?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm strong." "Well, show me." And he goes like this, and I'm thinking, because I just wanted to do a little test, because that's how we think. We think the strong arm of the Lord, okay? And here comes Jesus on the scene however many years later, okay? "For he shall grow up before him," before God, "as a tender plant,
and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And we were driving up this morning up to church, and it was funny, this church right here, I don't have a clue what all they share or whatever, but it was packed, you know, and there was all kind of stuff. But I was just thinking last night about how the church today, a lot of churches, it's loudspeakers, it's snazzy this, it's programs, it's any way to dress up the embarrassing humility of Jesus. It is any way to make it look, that's not how Jesus came. He didn't come taller than everybody else. It didn't even say he was, you know, it goes on to say he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But the church today, that's not how we want to present Jesus. We want to present him in a way that makes people want to come in. Come on. Not this. And then we turn the corner coming to our church. It's just like, Tim's like, I don't even think we have a sign. Do we have a sign? You know, I don't think we do. We need a sign. We got to get a sign. Yeah.
We have a sign, there's just nothing on it.
Yeah, we painted it over like years ago. Are y'all seeing the power in this verse? We're going to keep going, but Dolores, what's your testimony and what's in us right now? You know, just listen to these words. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. And I want to be esteemed. I want to be proud. I want to be great. I want to be something great. That's what we attain. That's what we're striving for in life. That's what we're growing up. My gosh, I want to be something great. You know, even, man, that's stupid. Give your Aggie ring away. You could have used that for leverage. You could have been something, man. You could have been something. Now that's embarrassing. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. So think about it. It's like David was kind of going down this path of starting to say this, because Jesus did, he bore all of our sicknesses, all of our everything. There is full life. Everything that Jesus has done, we don't have to suffer like Jesus suffered. But at the same time, he does say in the New Testament, pick up your cross and follow me. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, I'm not dividing that, but I am saying in this world you're going to have troubles. I will say that. I know that. That's the truth. So if we're going through affliction, we're going through trials, we just thank God for chair 5. We're saying, Lord, we thank you for, you know, the purifying that you're doing in us. It's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for this. This is awesome. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I've shared with you guys, it's just, the Lord used this in my life in a major way when I was in the Corps, and it was just horrible. You know, the first 2 months you go through FOW, and it's just completely horrible. The worst thing ever. And you're thinking, what in the world did I sign up for this for? You know, this wasn't in the brochure. You know, the brochure had a guy at his senior year having fun with his buddies. That was what was in the brochure. Okay, but you're going through utter and complete hell. Shave your head, same clothes as the knucklehead beside you, and you got 35 guys, and you're beat down to nothing. You're crying at night because you have no sleep. You get no food. You're whittled down to nothing. But it takes about 2 months, okay, where they used to have this thing called the fallout hole, and my room was the fallout hole, so it was kind of in the middle of the hallway. And everybody would come in that room, and you'd be like, all right, guys, God, we got smoked yesterday for, you know, you had two blue glasses and a yellow one. This guy had three yellow ones, and they made us go back and get more. So today, everybody get three blue glasses of water, okay? And then we'd go and we'd get three blue glasses of water. And then we'd come back and they're like, well, your buddy has a fork and a knife. You got a fork, spoon, and a knife. Go fix it. So then you got to go back. By the time this charade's over, you had no food, right? So then you're like, oh, man. So each day you're learning how to grow in this thing, right? And I remember I had the worst, they called them piss heads. I had the worst piss head in the Corps. Ryan Frazier, he's a pastor now. He became a believer. A lot of the guys in our outfit actually became believers. It's really powerful. It was an awesome testimony because our outfit was squirrels. I mean, we were bunch of goobers. But I remember, we'd each day we were learning how to live in that environment. It wasn't until about 2 months down the road. And I remember Ryan Frazier was sitting right across from me, and I had this plan, this master plan, okay? Because whenever they would ask you a question, you had to hit the table with your elbows real hard, okay? So you're like, boom, and you have to look straight ahead. You can't look around. There's all these rules, right? And you can't talk to each other, so you can't really plan this in the dining hall. You got to plan it in the fallout hall, right? Well, Ryan Frazier asked me a question. I had put my plate just right off the edge of my table, just right off the edge. Just, I had a perfect plan here. And he asked me a question. I just go, boom, and all the food just goes just all over him. Okay, and he's just like, We just figured out, hey, guys, we're going to get smoked no matter what. Let's have some fun. Okay, so we got to this point where it got to be a blast. We started having fun in our afflictions. Every single trial and trouble, we started just having a good time. We're like, hey, we're going to have fun with this now because they're going to smoke us no matter what. Because no matter what you did, we were in a different camp than the students on campus. There's only 2,000, 2,500 kids in the core, and the university had like 35,000. So we're this group you live off by yourself, right? So you're in a different program than everybody else. But I think about that story because we're in a different program than everybody else. God is, he's specifically, it's like my sons, I deal with them different than I do other kids that aren't my kids. You know, so that I haven't spanked other kids before, but my kids can say I've done spankings with them, right? Because I love them. And so I want to teach them and train them to be what God's created them to be. Because they have stuff in them that's fleshly and carnal and not going to be a blessing to them later, because that bad behavior at the age of 2 looks a lot different at the age of 18, which is a lot of the people that I work with, and deal with on a daily basis. They never got a spanking. They never got that affliction.
I like that, Jeff. Hey, kids, we're going to do spankings together.
Oh. Yeah. It's good. So Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. And I just know from my personal testimony, I know that the Lord, I've been proud, I've been loud, I've been everything that's opposite of this humility that's spoken of and prophesied right here. So I know that God is awesome, and he knows how to deal with his kids, and the afflictions and the trials of this present time aren't worth comparing to the glory that's going to come. So it's painful when we go through it, and I pray for not going through it, but it's going to come. So, but when it does, we rejoice. We praise him. We thank him for it. And we're like Larry said, man, I say it all the time, thankful for the Holy Spirit. There are denominations that whatever reason don't want to embrace it, if they believe it, maybe in their head, but don't want to say, I don't want all the crazy stuff with the Holy Spirit. I want all the crazy stuff. I want everything that's in the Word that God says what it is, whatever it is, I want that. So whatever, however foolish I look or however stupid I look, I don't care. I want whatever's in this Word. If it says it's of him, then, and if it's something that's going to be a blessing to us, he wouldn't give us something that's not a blessing. I'm not putting an emphasis on the spiritual gifts, but I will say, I'm thankful. And I know, like Larry said, I pray in tongues. And there's times where I'll be going into a situation and have fear or something like this and just pray in tongues and just let the Lord, it just kind of, for whatever reason, sometimes a peace will come over me. And sometimes I don't know what's, maybe God's doing something,
that we don't know about. You know, he might be answering a prayer or doing something before us before we get into a situation. I'm going to close at this because this was so powerful to read this morning in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It's Paul and Silas when they're in prison. Okay, and here's this, just picture this, okay? Just picture this in the message and the testimonies from this morning. We'll kind of close with this. And it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." This is what stuck out to me. "And the prisoners heard them." Okay, this is at midnight. They're praising, and the prisoners heard them. Okay? "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." So if you think of our circles that we're in, and our jobs, and everything we're in, and the afflictions, the trials, the troubles, our praise is what's the thing that's loosening our bonds and the people that are next to us. They hear our praise. Praise when people are suffering, powerful. One of the most powerful stories to me in the Bible is the story of Stephen's crucifixion. That is, or when he's getting stoned. That was just like, because at the very end, remember what it says? It says he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And do you remember what he said about Jesus? Standing at the right hand of the Father. Usually Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. And this one, it says Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. And I picture that like a standing ovation. Like Stephen at his death, and what he saw when he looked up was Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That's powerful to me. Because throughout the whole Bible, you always see it. He's sitting on the right hand of God. You know, and in this one story, and I don't know, maybe there's more, but that spoke to me, you know, when I read that and I think about stories like afflictions and, you know, trials and testimonies like you were sharing, Dolores. So thank you for sharing that. And it's right in line with, I think, what with a lot of people are, you know, whether it's an outward affliction, it's some self-imposed thing. I have plenty of stuff that I've created in my own life, you know. So between that and the devil and the world, you know, God's got a lot to deal with. But we just give it all to him. You know, we give him all our, you know, we cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. So that's what's fun, is he does heal us. There is supernatural healing. You know, there is whatever it is that you need. He knows what we need. And so I'm thankful and grateful. Amen. And, you know, I think a lot of our stuff that we, because I saw a fork in the road with Tammy and me with her, with all the STOA stuff that she's doing, the speech and debate stuff. I saw a fork in the road. I can either be angry and bitter and poor me and da-da-da, or I can recognize God in it because it actually gives me time to study and do stuff because she's busy, right? And I used to want that. I'm like, God, I want to read or I want to do something. So, you know, we can look at every situation, just trust and know that God is in control. You know, we just trust him with everything. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is our life. And he's teaching us how to do that. Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy 8, you know, and he was fighting Satan. And he probably didn't feel good because he had fasted for 40 days. And so, and since he had a stomach and a tongue, you know, he had a feel, you know, there was a suffering there. Okay, there was an affliction. You know, I talked about even fasting a couple weeks ago when I was talking about this verse at one point, because there's a power in fasting. I think it's Isaiah 58. Talked about this is the kind of fast that's good. It looses there's about 7 or 8 things it does. It's a blessing, including it springs your health quickly. So there's a blessing. I know a lot of you guys have fasted over the years. I have. There is a blessing to it, but there's a suffering. It's kind of like, well, I don't know, but God's good. God is good. Does there anybody have another testimony? I know we did a lot of testimonies.
Mine wouldn't work, and I it was plugged in, everything was, it was supposed to work. So Obo had already put on this machine, and then I couldn't go to sleep. I don't know, it had to be the Holy Spirit. But 30 minutes, I smelled gas. And I got up, and the stove was on. Without the fire and stuff. So the gas was just spewing. You know how you can hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So it was God who reminded me, you need to share that testimony, because I've never shared that testimony.
Wow.
He spared a whole family. There could have been four funerals. Yeah. We could
absolutely
have been sitting here. We could have not ever met any of you guys.
Wow.
But God spared our lives.
Amen.
This is the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, after that, my machine worked like nothing.
Oh. Wow.
But God kept it
working. Yeah.
Because if he hadn't, we would have all died.
Yep. And we could be grumbling about the machine not working, because that's how we do things. That's how we are. That's how we are.
Exactly.
I told Tam this morning, I was filling up gas yesterday morning. I was on empty and I filled it up. I remember years ago, I think we had three kiddos at the time. I remember putting a dollar of gas in my tank because that is all I had.
Yeah.
Literally $1. And I told Tam, I don't know where I was going with that dollar of gas. Because I wasn't going far, right? But I was just thanking God for just being able to put a full tank of gas in there. You know, we thank him for everything. I mean, your life was saved by that broken machine.
Our family's life was saved.
Isn't that amazing? That's powerful.
Both our kids were under the age of 12. So,
yeah.
You know, our whole family.
Yep.
I mean, which was a miracle. So, I mean, you know, if God hadn't spared our lives, there would have been four funerals.
Yep. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. That's a powerful testimony.
I didn't even share that with Obo coming here this morning.
Yeah, that's powerful. It's good to remember those things that God does. It's good to remember those and just thank him for those. We were driving this morning to work and we saw this old van and we remembered a blue old van that we had that just, man, we used to laugh because the little visor, my mother-in-law got in the van one time and she put the visor down and just fell off because we had it just barely resting on the thing. You know, it's like it was there, but you're not really supposed to use it. And she like pushed it down. She's like, oh, and we're like, oh, don't worry. Just stick it back up there. And that van was given to us. I mean, we don't even know. We're like, who gave it to us? We don't know. It was someone in BSF or something. But, you know, that thing was ugly. But, boy, it sure got us from point A to point B. So
Amen.
We thank God for it. You know, it's funny. It's good. So. Bad cars. You learn a lot from crummy cars. I've had a lot over the years. I feel like I could fix anything. That's good. Any other testimonies?
Searched out, but also just that beauty is really beautiful because it's not obvious,
mm-hmm.
and it's hidden, and just God's real into doing things in a very understated sort of a way that is really awesome and glorious, but you have to search it out.
Yeah.
And I think we're like that too. Like our glory is not just obvious.
Yeah.
You know, God has hidden it.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and he's that way. And just seeing this, especially Isaiah. Was that 53? That's mm-hmm. just really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's his character. That's his nature.
Yeah.
Is that he's that person that is despised and that, like, it's embarrassing, you know, almost.
Yep.
But just that we can really identify with that.
Yep. Yep. It's powerful. That's good.
I was just going to say, when he was talking about the crappy cars, I just thought that when the Lord had given me a dream, yeah, and you guys probably remember our white van. We drove that thing. It was 15 years old. I mean, Janet, Pastor, Janet.
Halverson.
David. Yes, David Halverson's wife. So she, you know, when we finally got a new van, she was like, oh, my God, I was just wondering. Now she was like, Lord, I know you can bless them with more than that, Lord. That time, the
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I kept praying because I didn't want a car note, okay? So I kept praying over that car. But the Lord had given me a dream that we were to sell the car. But I didn't tell my husband. I didn't tell him. No, I waited until the car had just completely died. You know? So just not being obedient to what God had already told us to do. And so if we had sold it when we were supposed to, then we would have been able to trade it in to get money for it. But we didn't. You know, so it's important to be obedient, even if you have the crappy car that you're trying to hold on to because you don't want another car note, you know?
Right.
But God had already told me to, you know, to get rid of the car. He showed me that we were getting a new car in the
Yeah.
And so, but I'm just thankful.
Yeah.
I'm thankful. I don't like to just sporadically get new things just because, you know, just because. I just want to be obedient to what God has called us to do.
Amen.
See, that's the thing. That's what I'm hearing behind all this is you hear, you have ears to hear what God is saying to you. Sometimes you don't think you really hear him right, and you'll go, did I really hear you say that? And in a still small voice, he'll say, yes, that's what I told you to do. Now, are you going to be obedient and do it, you know? And I'm going to tell you, time after time, my flesh has said, no, I'm not doing it. Mikey can do it, you know. But I heard his voice when we lived down on the coast talking about death.
Yes.
This older man, I loved him. He just could sing the gospel. He come over to my house and he said, Susie, he says, I smell something, but I don't know what I'm smelling. Can you come over to the house? It was real late at night. I was like all put out about it. Wah. And so I went. And when I went, I started sniffing like a little dog, you know. And all of a sudden the Lord led me to his stove. Down there, we have to have propane. We don't have gas or anything like that, but there's propane. And I went over there, and I got by the, and him and his wife had become sick. And I went over there, and I put my nose down, and I backed up, and I said, your propane's on. And I looked down, and the knob was on. But what I'm getting at is, if he hadn't have come and got me, and I didn't hear the Lord say, go, and I'd ignored it, they both would have been dead by the next morning from the propane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's hearing God's voice.
Yep.
That's what this is.
It is.
Yep. He speaks to us. He speaks to his kids. So it's good. Just are we listening? Are we listening?
That's what's called being a child of God.
Yeah.
He says, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger, they will not follow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, and what you just read out of that 53rd chapter, Jesus didn't do what he wanted to do. He said, I don't do anything of myself.
That's right.
He always waited on the Father, and that's what made him humble.
Yep.
Made him loving and made him suffer.
Yep.
As much as he did because he was willing to take it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Right. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for an awesome day today. We thank you for this time together and for each and every precious saint here, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you for this fellowship and for your presence, Lord. We sang at the beginning, we invite your Holy Spirit, and we thank you that you are with us always, and we recognize your presence and your love and your just everything you're doing in our lives, Lord. So I thank you for each and every person here, and we just praise you. We thank you that apart from you, we can do nothing. We are nothing. So we thank you that it's no longer us that lives, but Christ that lives in us. We thank you for Jesus and for just the Holy Spirit that you sent back to us to teach us and to train us that and to fill us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to be everything to us, Lord. So we abide with you today. We abide with your just precious Holy Spirit. And we just give you praise, Lord. We thank you. And just pray for everybody's week to be blessed and to be full of your word and revelation and just relationship with you, Lord. We thank you that you desire that to be with us. And we just love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.